This is a story that's taken from the Gospel of Luke. Filled with the Spirit, Jesus returned to the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days. And then he was tempted by the devil. For he had eaten nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It's written, one does not live by bread alone." And then the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instance. And the devil said to him, "I will give you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whoever I wish. All will be yours if you worship me." And Jesus says, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and your God alone you shall serve." Then the devil said again to him, and took him to Jerusalem, and made him stand up on a parapet in the temple and said, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it's written, God will command the angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil finished with every temptation, he departed him for a time. People of God, hear what the Spirit is saying. Well, Wednesday was Ash Wednesday. It's the beginning of Lent. And today is, again, the first Sunday of Lent. So what's this 40 days thing supposed to be about? Well, pick it up on Google. And it says the 40 days are prayer and fasting, almsgiving, that begin with Ash Wednesday and ends on Sunday, on sundown of Holy Thursday. And there's much ritual involved in this time. It's a period of preparation. And I sit there and say, preparation for what? Lent is a time of preparation for an opportunity to grow deeper with God. So what was that first reading of Deuteronomy about? It was about a ritual. It was a ritual about how we remember the past. How Abraham was a wandering Aramean. That he was someone who was an alien. And he was one who was the outsider. And sometimes we're the outsider as well. Amen? The description of this is important because what ritual is meant to do, it's the power of ritual and intention of ritual. It's about creating a sacred life. It's about remembering, you know, remembering, becoming one again and pulling that together. It's about creating a sacred life. Now, we just had this annual ritual of Ash Wednesday, where we place ashes on our forehead. This year, we did something a little bit different. I want to thank Debbie Bodonsky for leading the way on that. We placed glitter with the, with the ashes. The ashes are part of that ritual because they go back to Palm Sunday, and it's the palms that are on that Sunday that are burned for the ashes. So why do we mix glitter with it? Well, mixing glitter started back just in 2017 in New York. It was a way to reach out to the LGBTQ community because they were feeling rejected from the church. And it was an affirmation of God's love. And it was also, the ritual's intention was talking about us reaching back to our ancestors. Be aware that Abraham was a wandering Aramean, that he was an alien. Going back into 2017, going back to Isaiah, Well, that was a harsh reading by Isaiah, amen? And it's because they were living empty rituals without reason behind them. It's going back all the way back to the Big Bang, where sacredness of all creation, where we all started out as one. Dust to dust, stardust to dust, stardust. That's from which we're made. Ashes are also a reminder of death and suffering because they're real. They are a sign of what we cannot be silent to, the violence in our world. And we need to get in touch with our role of the violence that's in our land. So they're a sign of life from which we're made, divine life to which we are meant to return. Glitter is that celebration of hope in the midst of things that don't seem hopeful. So some claim that Edward Burke in 1700 wrote this. He said, evil people, to accomplish their person or their purpose, the only thing that's necessary is for good people to stay silent. 1700 said he wrote that. Glitter and ash and ashes are meant to call us to mind that if we're good people, we need to speak up. We need not to be silent. Our rituals that we go through Lent are meant to call us to life in a new way. It's time for us to go inside of us and to live our lives with intention. So, what are your rituals? How do you consistently invoke the feeling of sacredness, of intention, into the meaning of your life? It's about what we need to do so well. It's how we connect with our intentions and goals in a very meaningful way. Does this ritual we do sometime become empty if we don't recall who is welcome here, that all are welcome, and it's meant to connect us with all of the universe? You know, we got a lot of rituals. Brushing your teeth every morning is a ritual. Anything can be seen as wiping and cleaning the dishes. Just ask Thomas Merton about that. It's all about our intention and our awareness with that. Because when they become mundane, when our rituals become empty, that emptiness invades our being. It invades us the way we're not paying attention to the divine that's around us. And when we practice with intention, some say it's tasting the sweetness of sacred life that's there. I mean, look at these flowers here. Is that not something we are to be attentive to? And that sweetness of life in the coldness of winter. What's that called?
Witch hazel.
Witch hazel. And in the coldness of winter that comes out, that's the richness of it. In difficulties and struggles, there's always beauty to be seen. It's interesting, by not developing healthy, intentional rituals, we are reinforcing unhelpful patterns, like the way we criticize each other, like the way we condemn others, instead of seeking to understand others and see that in them. Now, this is not meant to be something to beat ourselves up with, because it had a long history that Isaiah was talking about. And what he was talking about that Doris read so well, I told her, I said, pick someone out who you're disgusted with, and she did, and she read it with that disgust, because that's what Isaiah was doing. Isaiah was speaking God's word and saying, wait a minute. Your bulls and your sheep and your blood that you're doing is not what it's about. It's about learning to love each other. It's about caring for the widow. It's about defending the oppressed. It's about caring for the cause of the fatherless. Isaiah was speaking to that, and we need to take a look at, in these 40 days, do we have some empty rituals that keep us from seeing what's going on around us? I believe that these rituals are meant to call us. But what they're meant to call us to is going deeper inside of ourselves. I cannot be an activist. I cannot go out and do things in the world unless I have a strong foundation inside of me, unless I begin to get in touch with that inside part. Richard Rohr says, the answer and purpose is we have lost our connection with our ancestors. We've lost our connection to the meaning of our rituals and the rites of passage. He says, we no longer get connected with the seasons, the moon, the harvesting of sacred daily life in meaningful ways. We are severed from the rituals of nature, from our own elements of nature. And we have all but forgotten the elements that are alive in us. And they need to be nurtured. Maybe we're called to see the divine that's in us, to see that reflectively. Sister Joan Chittister said, too often we see Jesus as just holding the little kids and doing the healing. But there's a flip side to that, as she said. The flip side is to be prophetic. But we can't be prophetic unless we do what Jesus said. Now, did Luke have something special to tell us about what happened with him? Jesus had this enlightenment that came down with the Spirit came upon him. You're the Son of God, the Lamb of God. And then what he did, he came to understand he was a child of God. And then what he did, he went out for so-called 40 days into the desert. He needed to get in interior work to develop that understanding, to get in touch with that. Because listen to the temptations that he had. If you're the Son of God, take this stone and make it into bread. Because he was hungry. Jesus said, one does not live by bread alone. What's an interpretation of that? It says, I'm not independent. That I have more than myself that I have to feed. It's not just about me, me first. It's about understanding what others' needs are. And unless Jesus did some interior work on those 40 days, would he have understood that? He goes on and says, I will give you all the power and glory. It's been handed over to me. Is that the devil or is that our ego? How many times we get in struggles, power struggles with each other, power struggles with our loved ones, power struggles with people we disagree with, power struggles with that I'm right and you're wrong. And Jesus came back and said, No. You shall worship the God yourself alone. That's where the power is from. And unless you make that connection with that power of God, it's really empty power. And we need to shut that ego down. He said, get yourself up here. If you're the Son of God, jump off. Because it said that God will send his angels lest you met your feet against the ground. You know, the opposite of that was Chip Wilson and Geraldine. The devil made me do it. Flip Wilson. It's the devil made me do it. What that is, it's not taking responsibility. When we sit there and say, well, God will protect me. Yeah, God's going to protect me against dashing my foot against him, but I better deal with myself too. That I need to take responsibility for how I live and act in the world. That I need to take responsibility on how I treat other people. I need to take responsibility for how I care for others and grow with others. This is what it's about. God will protect you from the smallest hap. The opposite is true. We need to protect ourselves and know that God will take care of everything else. Luke is telling a story. So after Jesus was filled with the Spirit, he spent that time. So now we need to take this time in these 40 days. How are you going to take time to go inside and look at how you are, to love yourself, to see the power that you need to have, so that when you go out in activism, you have the strength not of yourself, But God's with you because you're a child of God. We will not overcome unless we too do the interior work that Jesus did. We will not have hope that we can sing, remember that old song, "We Shall Overcome"? We shall overcome someday. That's because they had that hope. There was an interior work there. We need to work on that. So if Lent is this honest self-examination, it's also a ladder of maturity and love in a recommitment to grow in that love. Instead of just trying to do empty rituals, let's find rituals that we can find meaning in to reach out to our oneness with all the world. I'd like to offer time for now for anybody who'd like to make comments.